Good morning, everybody. Reading from the book of Haggai, chapter 2, with the first 9 verses, Michael.
Yes.
Right. On the 21st day of the 7th month, the word of the Lord came through prophet Haggai. Speak to
Zerubbabel.
Any other way of saying it? Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenant with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and the desired of all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty.
Thank you, Keith. And you might wonder why I would choose to read out of Haggai. It's a very short book. I don't know how many of you read chapters 1 and chapter 2. It's set about 520 years before Jesus came. And the people, many of the people had just come back from exile in Babylon. And it was perhaps one of those times, as Jeff said last week, the book of Revelation is painted with the colours of the Old Testament in some of the images that are there in the Old Testament. And I thought that was a good description. And some of the images here that would conjure up in our minds would be a little bit like perhaps some of the photos that you see, the aerial shots of areas of Ukraine, and where there are cities and laid waste and streets filled with rubble, and it's been laid in rubble long enough for grass and trees and things to grow up through it. And the people in exile, which had returned from Babylon, many thousands of them, would have come back to a mess like that. They'd been in exile for, I think, about 70 years. So they'd come back to a hard situation. They'd be directed to rebuild the temple. They'd been in Jerusalem for about 16 or so years. And it may be that Haggai was one of the ones that remembered what the temple used to be like. And the people had set to, and they had at least made a start on it. But as people like us inclined to be distracted and sometimes easily diverted, they'd set to and built their own houses, and their houses were finally panelled and nicely built, but still only just the foundations of the temple. And so God speaks to Haggai, and he tells him to speak to the governor, Zerubbabel, and to Joshua, a different Joshua than the one we talked about, that Linda talked about this morning, who was the high priest. And he tells them, be strong. Be strong. But he doesn't just tell them to be strong. Wouldn't it be great if someone in government was strong and godly? Hey? I'm sure there is a few there. But Zerubbabel was a man that could be told by a prophet to be strong. and to govern well and to govern with courage. And the high priest, Joshua, was also told to be strong. But it wasn't just them that were told to be strong. It was the people as well. And I wonder whether we could hear similar words, because they, back in that time, had a job that God had given them to do. And we, in our time, have got a job that God has given us to do, and I believe we are people that need to be strong. It says in Ephesians, because that was one of the references I gave you to read, a number of places that you could have gone to, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, I'm not going to go into the normal thing that you do when you read this part of the scripture, but just this verse, it says, finally, this is the Apostle Paul, who was once a skeptic and once he was a pretty strong character, who had once persecuted the church and was once in cahoots, really, with the powers of darkness opposing Jesus, ignorantly to probably a fair extent, but nevertheless opposing, one part of the opposition at one point. And says, he says this, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. And I think we as people today, whether it be reading in the New Testament, whether it be reading in the Old Testament, we see people in the New Testament, they had a job to do. People in the Old Testament, they had a job to do. And we need to be strong. Strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I was awakened a morning about a couple of weeks ago, really enjoying the pre-daylight savings period. I'm a bit old school. Yeah, we can blame Daniel Andrews for all sorts of things. Can't blame him for daylight savings. But you know, I was just enjoying that sort of time, waking up early and the sun's coming up, and you know, I sneak out while Lynn is still asleep, and because she doesn't do sunrises, but she loves sunsets. But you know, I woke up this morning and I felt like the Lord just said to me, and I love it when he reminds me of Scripture first thing when I wake up. These words came to my mind. He said, "You will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. He will hold you in the palm of his hand." And I thought to myself, well, I'll just go and I'll start. I'll hunt up where that scripture comes from. Couldn't find it anywhere. Well, it sounds very biblical, doesn't it? Well, I went looking, and some of the scriptures that I pointed you towards in Psalm 121 or in Psalm 33, we would see that there are so many things that are said just like that, that I just took it as a word of encouragement. Because, not because God's saying it's time for you to rest, it's time for you to trust, and it's time for you to rest in my strength, because there's something I've got for you to do. And I believe there's something that the Lord has got for you to do, for you to be part of. And so we need to be a people that are to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I don't know how many times you have conversations with people and they'll admit, I don't know what's going on in the world. How many times do you have a conversation like that and that phrase gets mentioned? It probably was pretty much on a weekly basis. I don't know what's happening to the world today. I don't know whether you watch news or some sort of current affairs or you know, you're chasing up information, there's plenty of information available. And I don't know whether you find that there's fear and there's worry that can be sown into your life daily. You can get your daily dose of fear and worry. It's easy. When I was younger, we used to just have meteorologists. But now we have climate scientists. I'll just be, before I go, is there anybody here that's a climate scientist? All right, I've got a free go. It's a new industry. And, you know, if you say climate change, climate change, climate change, climate change, you mention it often enough in a sentence, you'll be absolutely certain that there's a crisis that is looming, that is just happening, and there is no God. And we've got to somehow save ourselves. I feel concerned for climate scientists. I feel concerned for all scientists if their premise isn't based on truth, where God is in charge of all that He's made.
Hallelujah.
How do you study everything that exists without knowing the one who made it? And so I think there's just this sowing of hopelessness and anxiety, and I feel concerned for a rising generation. And there's the attitude that you should be afraid and you should act on your fear. And I believe it's almost paralyzing. We could read the book of Revelation and we could be afraid, but that's not the purpose that it is written. The book of Revelation is there because it's a revelation of Jesus Christ that is given for His servants to show us what will soon take place so that we are not caught unawares. Same with all of the Word of God. There's revelation here that we need to be taking hold of. This revelation is great because it confronts us, it convicts us, it converts us, it changes us, it counsels us, it comforts us, and it brings confidence because we get to know our Maker. The Word of God speaks into our hearts, and it might even make us afraid. It might make us anxious about our sin. That's a good thing. It's good to take sin in your life seriously. God took sin seriously, so seriously that He sent His Son to die for your sin and for mine. But I just got one. Well, I've got a couple of questions. One, my first question is this: Are you trusting Jesus to save you? Because what Jesus did on the cross, which is what we've just remembered, is the most amazing, the most mighty, the most wonderful rescue that has ever been undertaken for mankind. Liz's husband, Alan, loaned me a book. Stuart Diver. Liz and Alan know Stuart. A long-time resident of Threadbow area there, and you'll remember the amazing rescue. He was the only one that was saved out of that horrendous situation. I like to read something a bit different as I go to bed. I don't think it's a good nighttime read. It's not the sort of thing you read to drift off to sleep. And we might be amazed at such a rescue effort that took place in Threadbow all those years ago. But there's a greater rescue that took place for you. And Jesus is the one that did it. The Bible says that God demonstrates His love for you in that while you were still a sinner, Christ died for you. The most amazing rescue ever. It wasn't a rescue attempt. It was a rescue that you desperately needed. So as you're trusting for salvation, if you're trusting Him for salvation, I would say trust Him also for strength. Trust Him for strength, because we need to be a people who are strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And Haggai had no problem saying to Zerubbabel, and no trouble saying to Joshua, be strong. Be strong now. Be strong, all you people. And work. For I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. I love in some other translations, the older translations, I am with you, says the Lord of hosts. A newer translation would say, I am with you, says the Lord of heavenly armies. Doesn't that engender a sense of confidence? The one who's saying be strong is the one who is the Lord of heavenly armies, the Lord of hosts, the Lord Almighty. And He's telling you to be strong and courageous in these days. Why was it that Joshua needed to be told to be strong and courageous? With the, he'd had a long apprenticeship. He'd had a 40-plus year apprenticeship with Moses. You think he'd had being strong and courageous down pat. He'd been walking alongside Moses, doing a lot of key work, been faithful. But when he was given the responsibility to lead, God tells him, be strong and courageous. be strong and very courageous. Three times the Lord says to him in Joshua chapter 1. And in verse 18, the people of God says, we will do whatever you tell us to do, only be strong and courageous. Paul says to young Timothy, Timothy's got a job to do to pastor a church, and you know, we probably know this verse off by heart. For the Spirit of God does not make us timid. Well, we probably know it. God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Another translation, for the Spirit of God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. That is in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. I think it's easy for us to be overwhelmed. It's easy for us to be tempted to sit on our hands. It's easy for us to be afraid of what's going on in the world around about us. Jesus himself said, you will see all sorts of things happening in the world. You'll see wars, you'll see rumors of wars. We're seeing that. But he says, but do not be afraid. Don't be paralyzed by fear. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Rob's favorite verse in John's Gospel. I have told you things, this is Jesus speaking, I have told you these things that in me you might have peace. In this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, be strong and courageous. I have overcome the world. John chapter 16, verse 33. So I wonder, do we rest in the shadow of the Almighty? I wonder, do we know that he holds us in the palm of his hands? You know, when we look at the scriptures, we'll see plenty of places where this has been truth that has been revealed in times past. Psalm 121, great way to start your day. You could pray this at the beginning every day. Lord, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. Take hold of this. This is something that the Lord has been saying to his people for a long time. This is not a short-term thing. This is not a one-time thing. This is a now and forevermore thing. So this is something you can have sure hope and absolute strength and confidence that you're not going to get anywhere else. It's in the Lord and in his mighty power. I don't know whether you'd be inclined to start your day and say, Lord, I'm not looking around here for any help or hope. I'm looking up. My help comes from you. You, the maker of all things, you're the maker of me. Thank you that you secure my way. You watch over me all the time. You've always watched over your people. You could pray like that. You could pray in line with the Word of God. And that would be something that you could do in a step of faith to say, Lord, I want to be one who is strong in you and in your mighty power. I don't know whether you're not sure yet. Well, Psalm 33, verses 1 to 18, it says, surely the eyes are on those who fear him. They're on those whose hope is in his loving salvation, to deliver them from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts rejoice in him, since we trust in his holy name. May your loving devotion rest upon us, O Lord, as we put our hope in you. I think that looks like a hope and a strength that is well grounded. I think that looks like a hope that and a confidence in his help and in his strength and in his power. I believe God's got something for each of us to do. And I believe that we ought to have our eyes open to the opportunities that are around us every day. Because I don't think we can use an excuse, well, I can't do it because. I can't do it because I don't feel like it. I can't do it because I don't think I'm good enough. I can't do it, whatever it is that God puts upon your heart, because whatever the reason might be. I believe God does hold us in his hand. Jesus made that very clear in John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them as they were accusing him and saying, you know, by what authority do you do these things? And, you know, who are you really? Jesus answered, I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me. But you do not believe because you're not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one can snatch them out of my hand. This is an amazing thing, that you can be held in the palm of his hand. And my Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. So I say to you, brothers and sisters, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I say to you, brothers and sisters, may your focus be on the Lord and on his mighty power and not upon yourself. I remember one day, Steve Grace, we'd probably been part of inviting Steve Grace to come to Mudgee to do some outreach, and I think I'd been on the tools somewhere that day, and Lynn tells me when I get home, Steve wants you to do a song with him tonight at this concert. I thought, oh, okay. So quickly shower, get into town. You know, felt like it was a bit of an honour to be asked to do that. And I remember Steve introducing me there in a theatre there in Mudgee, saying, yeah, I'm just asking Michael Carlisle to come onto the stage. He's a mighty man of God. And my ego started to puff up inside me instantaneously. And then the conviction started to rest upon me about the same time. Well, if only they knew. And it wasn't a mighty man of God feeling that was going on inside me. So don't go on a mighty man of God trip. Don't go on a mighty man of God trip about yourself. Don't go on a mighty man of God trip about anybody. Be a person who looks to the Lord. Be a person trusting in him, in his mighty power, in his strength. Scratch the mighty man of God notion, because it elevates others or it elevates self. Strength and power belong to the Lord, and he is your only hope. We sing a song, you know, he is my life, my strength, my song. So who do you trust? Is your trust in him? Absolutely. What's your focus? Is your focus on him, or is it on things and circumstances and ideals and people, what they have and what you'd like to have? I think we're easily seduced and we're easily disabled. And we can put our hope and our trust in some ideal circumstances that we think might come our way. We can find ourselves just subtly seduced. This seductive world system is good at seducing us. The thing is, it's going to go up in smoke, and with it, those who put their trust in all of that. So who do you put your trust in? Who do you put your trust in? Where is your strength and your ability when work shuts down? Who do you put your trust in when interest rates are on the rise? Who do you put your trust in when people choose to think the worst about you? Who do you put your trust in when, you know, you're tired of trying again? and you're finding a situation discouraging or hard? Who do you put your trust in when you can't get your wife to get with the program, or your husband, or your children, or your friends, or whoever? Who do you put your trust in when there's something that you've got to do, but it's just hard, and it's just too daunting? Who do you put your trust in when the pressure is on and when the opposition is there, or the indifference is just too much? Who do you put your trust in when you feel weak, or when you feel tempted, or when you feel like a failure? Well, God's word speaks into all these situations. Put your trust in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. I was listening to Tucker Carlson during the week. He was in charge of some sort of a conference, I think, where there are a number of Christians there. And there was this Christian man that I don't know whether he was being interviewed by the Christian man or Tucker Carlson was interviewing him. But Tucker Carlson declared that I've started to read the Bible. He said, I'm a Protestant, so I'm reading the Bible. It's amazing how when life gets tough, you get the sack. And you start looking around. So he's reading the Bible. He made this statement. He said, I've discovered that God uses flawed people. With one exception, he said. He's obviously reading the Bible carefully because he realized Jesus was the exception. Jesus, the only unflawed person. God uses flawed people. And he speaks to us as flawed people. He says, trust me. And Paul the Apostle, he says something personal about this. He says, you know, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. How to be if Steve Grace introduced me to when I came on the stage. Here's a man who is in himself a tremendously weak character. Yeah, that would have done something to my ego too, wouldn't it, eh? It wouldn't have been puffed up too much. But the Apostle Paul says, when I'm weak, then I am strong. And there'll be many of us that would know that I've been pushed to the absolute end of myself. And it was then that I really started to trust. And Paul was personally facing things that he didn't want in his life, probably health issues. And he says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. You know, this is not kind of some mystic double speak. It's not some power of positive thinking. He says, he testifies that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. So I don't know whether you feel weak. I don't know whether you feel like a failure. I don't know whether you can remember all the mistakes you've made. But God takes and he uses flawed people who will trust him. And then he quotes God speaking to him as he was contending with his weakness, asking God to take it away from him. And God says to him, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. So I don't know what sort of weakness you're using as an excuse to not do what God's called you to do, but it ain't going to wash. Timothy, who probably wasn't this dynamic, strong man of God personality, probably a quiet fellow with good grounding in the word, a quiet fellow with a trust in Jesus, maybe a quiet fellow that really loved people and had a pastor's heart, had the desire to serve and reach out and share Jesus with people. And Paul says to Timothy, he says, you know, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So I want to say to you, church, today, you've got the privilege of standing in, of relying on, of being close in the shadow of the Almighty. And he will hold you in the palm of his hand. And there's something he's saying that I've got for you to do. And I think that's exciting. And it's not about what you're not good at or what you're weak in. I actually wonder if your challenging situation and my challenging situation might be exactly what God is well able, even intending to use, so that you might be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, not in your own strength, that you might trust in the Lord and in his mighty power. I wonder, with the very thing that he's given you to do that you perhaps think you can't do, I wonder whether the people he's given you to love that you might find hard to love, I wonder whether the situation where he's saying, here's where I want you to go, that you perhaps are not that keen to go, I wonder whether the situation where you are being invited to assist, but perhaps you don't even want to, I wonder whether the situation where, you know, you know you should study and prepare yourself, but you use the excuse, oh, but I'm not a very good reader. I used to be terrified if I was at church as a young fellow and if I was asked to read the Bible, I would be shaking in my boots. I felt like I was such a hopeless reader. And I listen to blokes sometimes who I'm encouraging to read the Bible, and they want to use the excuse and say, oh, I don't read much. Lame excuse. Look to the Word of God. Look to Him. Don't let your weakness be an excuse. I wonder, is there a situation that God has called you to share in? I wonder if there's a situation that God has called you to give into. I wonder if there's a situation He's called you to care. There's something he's got for you to do. And it's your opportunity to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. See, I think a message like if it's only that part of verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6 that you go away with today, that'll be good. Because I can tell you it's been good for me. Because there's a realization and there's a recognition that I need to do that. And that I need to be seeking him. And you do too. If you read on, you will recognize that there's real opposition both within and without. And you need to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is actually a personal step of faith and a step of obedience, a step of dependence and trust that I would encourage you strongly to take. This is something you can pray and say, Lord, show me what that means. Show me how to be strong in you and in your mighty power. This is, yes, a personal step, but it's a step I believe that we actually need to take together, to stand with each other in. Because, yes, there are things that we've personally got to do, but there are things that we've got to do together. Let me pray. Father, thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, across this great story that we've got. Lord, whether it was your directive to a governor and a priest and the people 520 years before Jesus came, or whether it's the very things that Jesus said, and do not be afraid when you see these things happening. Oh, Lord, whether it's a word given through the apostles, or Lord, we want to take you at your word. We want to say, Lord, yes, I need to be strong in you and in your mighty power. And not overwhelmed by the circumstances, not overwhelmed by the things that are designed to sow fear and worry and anxiety and to paralyze people. Father, thank you that we can be strong in you. Even, Lord, we come in our weakness and say, Lord, I need you. We thank you, Lord, that you promised that the Spirit would be poured out. And you said that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And Lord, yes, we still are. and we still need your power. And Lord, we still need to be strong in you to do the very things that you've put before us in this time. And we want to thank you, Lord, that this is not something we've got to muster up ourselves, but we can trust you. We want to thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name.